All right, we've got game three coming up, and then it's on the train from Baltimore to New York for the team, and day off tomorrow, then it's the Mets on Tuesday. Let's talk to the Hall of Famer, John Miller. John, how are you?
It's a throwback day. That's the way the teams, when the furthest westernmost franchises were in St. Louis, that was a western trip in those days, then teams traveled by train, and they would get on the train after a day game. And they'd have their own cars, including a lounge car, where they could play cards and have a beer, whatever, have a meal. And then when it was they were on the overnight train, they would go into the Pullman car, and they'd sleep right on the train. There were beds for everybody, and that's the way it went. So this is sort of back, and that's the way it was when Willie Mays broke in 1951. And of course, you know, the Babe and Lou Gehrig, all those guys way back when, that's the way they traveled. So the Giants will have a little bit of that experience. It's only about a 2-hour and 10-minute ride from Penn Station here in Baltimore to Penn Station in Manhattan. So, but it's a very beautiful train ride where maybe 15, 20 minutes out of Penn Station, you go along the Chesapeake Bay, and it's really a spectacular vistas along the way. So, anyway, that's what they're going to do today.
Boy, I love it. I love the stories about the old train rides. And, of course, I guess the writers were involved with that as well. Did they have their own car? Did they ride with the players? I forget.
Yeah, I wasn't around, so I'm not exactly sure. The only actual knowledge I have of any of that was in the... what was it? The Lou Gehrig story, where Pride of the Yankees, where Gary Cooper played Lou Gehrig, and it's still kind of a cool baseball movie with the tragic story of Lou Gehrig, of course. But it depicted them on train rides, and the Babe played himself, Lou Gehrig's teammate, in that movie, and they had some scenes where they were in the train playing cards and playing tricks on the young guys and stuff like that. So that's about all I really know about.
Yeah,
so
that's
what
it.
I saw there. And in that movie, I think the Walter Brennan, I think, played one of the writers, and I think he was depicted as being in that car with all the players.
Boy, what fun. That was fun. It was a good time for baseball. I like it. John, you having fun in Baltimore in Camden Yards. Your stories have been terrific. I love the stories about the crabs last night. And did you guys go out and eat the Baltimore crab?
Well, I didn't. My wife and I, Janine, we got here on Monday. I took the series in Miami off because we have a lot of friends and people that we know here. Our daughter from New York came down. She lives in New York now. And so we've been on the go. I really had a hard time fitting these games in, actually, because we had so many people to see and places to go and things to do. So it's just been like a big party. And, in fact, I'm not going on the train myself with my wife until tomorrow, because as soon as this game's over, I'm walking across to the football stadium. I think it's called M&T Stadium, where the Baltimore Ravens play. It's right across the parking lot from Camden Yards. And on the other side of that is some kind of a function place. And I'm going to a wedding over there. Oh. And Mark Hyman, the writer, he actually used to cover the Orioles back in the 80s when I was here, and then we did a book together. It's my book, but he did most of the writing. I did the telling, I guess.
The living.
But Confessions of a Baseball Purist. Anyway, his son's getting married, so and you know, I remember the day his son was born. So it's kind of a cool quirk of fate that they scheduled the wedding for the weekend where the Giants were in town, which they had no knowledge of at when they scheduled it. So that's where we're going instead after the game. So for us, the Baltimore sojourn will continue for another 24 hours before we go to New York tomorrow.
Well, your stories have been great about Chuck Thompson, Ain't the Beer Cold, and all that. I love listening to it. I heard a lot.
Chuck had one of the great voices of all time. And, in fact, Darren Chan, who's the best in the business, our producer and engineer, if you don't mind, I'm sort of taking over your show here for a second, Marty.
It's yours.
But he found a call of a Baltimore Colts victory over the Cleveland Browns with one of his great phrases. So here we go.
He's got the snap. The snap, the kick is in the air, and the kick is good. And so the Baltimore Colts move right along in front of the Cleveland Browns, 34-0. And this ball game is history as the gun sounds. And it's been a very gloomy, gloomy Sunday in Cleveland. But in that great city of Baltimore, ain't the beer cold.
That's great. I love it. It's great.
And, you know, I remember, for me, I had no idea that when I was a kid, I didn't realize Chuck Thompson did baseball because I only knew him as the Colts guy. In those days, CBS television had all the rights for NFL football, and they had a guy who would do the games for each team. Bob Fouts, as I recall when I was a kid, he was the guy who would do the 49ers games on TV. Lon Simmons was on the radio. But on TV, he was on CBS television, so on the network. Ray Scott, very famously, did the Packers games in the great days of the Packers in the 60s. Bart Starr, you know, Starr, Dowler, touchdown, you know, in that understated style. And then Chuck Thompson, who just had one. And I think I probably became a Colts fan as a kid because I read the biography of Johnny Unitas, and I was just enamored of Unitas. And so whenever the Colts were on national television on CBS, I would tune it in, and Chuck Thompson was the guy. Lenny Moore got about 5 yards of real estate into the Giants' 43-yard line. Second down and five for the Colts. He just had this great, rich, velvety voice, but also he just sounded like he was having the best time. And when I started with the Oakland Athletics in 1974, the first night in, we weren't going to play till the next night. The Colts, the Orioles had a game, and I turned it on the radio in the hotel room, and there was Chuck Thompson doing the game. Low and outside, ball two. Two balls and one strike to Brooks Robinson. And I just remember thinking, wow, Chuck. And I was so thrilled to just hear him again because the voice was just so fabulous. And Ernie Harwell always said that he thought it was the greatest sports casting voice that he ever heard, and Ernie heard them all. And if he had one big game, it was a Game 7 of the World Series, he would want Chuck Thompson to be the guy behind the microphone. So It was a thrill for me, just as it was to work with Lon Simmons later on, the guy I grew up with. And Chuck Thompson was to Baltimore what Lon was to the Bay Area, with the big voice. And he did both sports, and ain't the beer cold.
Well, I loved it. I'll tell you my Chuck Thompson stories when we have more time. But, I love him. He's got the book, Ain't the Beer Cold. I have the book. It's a great story, his story. And I think he did the Mazeroski home run. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he
did. It was kind of a sad story because I think there was a guy named Dittmar who had been in the game in the eighth inning.
Art Dittmar.
Now they get to the ninth inning, and they're in the booth. The producers are explaining to him if the Pirates win and what's going to happen and what Chuck's going to have to do. And because, you know, they'll have somebody in the clubhouse for the celebration and how they're going to handle it. Are they going to a break first? Or are they just going to send it right down? Or does Chuck need to fill for a little bit? Or does, you know, all this. So now Mazeroski hit the first pitch. And then they're like, oh, okay, sorry, Chuck, I think you got it. He said, yeah. And we'll do the best we can. And the guy says, okay, so 3 seconds and you're on. And he cues him. And the first pitch comes in right after he gets back, and Dittmar delivers. And as soon as he said it, he realized, wait a minute, that's not Dittmar. And it's Ralph Terry. Right. But immediately the ball is in flight toward left field. So he thought, well, this could be it. And what am I going to interrupt the call and just correct? Oh, I beg your pardon. That is no longer Dittmar. That's Ralph Terry, who's just come into the... Anyway, it's a home run for Mazeroski in the World Series. So he just went with it, and he did a great call, an exciting call, captured the moment brilliantly. And so now, and I think most people... and I think Dittmar was a little unhappy when he heard the play later on, and there were some people that did pick it up, but most people forgot about it soon after. And for Chuck, he was always chagrined about it whenever he'd hear it. He didn't want to hear it anymore. But so years later, and I mean, and I can't remember if it was in the 80s or the 90s, Budweiser did a television commercial during the World Series that showed people back in 1960 in a bar, in public places, at a beach, with the radio on, listening to Game 7. And then you hear Chuck very clearly say, Dittmar delivers, and Mazeroski hits. And then all of a sudden, you know, this was seen by millions and millions of people because it was on television and prime time, not on the afternoon as it was in 1960 on radio. And so he had to go back all through that again. And Dittmar threatened to get a lawyer and sue him, you know, for making him look bad for being the guy who did not give up the home run and made it sound like he did. And so, which was kind of preposterous. But anyway, I always felt bad for Chuck. He says, are you kidding me? This thing comes back to haunt him, you know, 35 years later. Wow. Crazy.
What a story. Oh, boy, we got to take a break. Bob Prince is the other part of that story. He didn't see the home run. Because he was on his way down, if I'm not mistaken.
He was on his way down
but
just
don't,
in case.
Don't tell that one now. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. All right. We're going to come back. With
Stand by, Marty.
Yes. In 1 second, we'll be back. All right. Let's take a quick break. Boy, John, you're the best. We could talk all day. But to finish the story, Bob Prince, the Pirate announcer, never saw the Mazeroski home run.
He's supposed to interview everybody, especially Maz, and doesn't even know what's just happened. Whoops. Two great broadcasters from the golden days of radio back in the 50s and 60s. Chuck Thompson was a guy who actually broke in Philadelphia. That was his first major market radio experience, and he was a staff announcer. And they sent him over to Connie Mack Stadium, which might have still been called Shibe Park at that time. And the broadcasters were being honored before the game, so they had to be on the field. The broadcast booth was on the rooftop. And Chuck had a terrible fear of heights. And it was such a steep incline from the booth looking down at the field that he actually took his belt off, wrapped it around a post and then around himself just so that he wouldn't, so he could stay there without freaking out. And the guys did not get back. It was By Som, who's a Hall of Fame broadcaster, the longtime Phillies broadcaster. And he didn't get back up. The elevator broke down. And Chuck ended up had to do the first two innings, even without preparing for it. And they liked it so much that they said, wow, that guy is really good. He should be doing a lot more games. And that was how his big league baseball career started. In Baltimore, the Orioles came here from St. Louis in 54, and Ernie Harwell, actually, was the first Oriole broadcaster. And Chuck was with the wrong brewery. He was already doing the Colts games. The brewery hired that sponsored the games hired the broadcasters. So Chuck had to go to Washington and did the Washington Senators games.
Wow.
And it's a crazy story. But for me, Chuck, I'm so thrilled to just have gotten to know him. I took him to Muir Woods one day because he'd never seen anything, he said, in San Francisco other than the Jack Tar Hotel. And between the Jack Tar and Kezar Stadium, or later the Jack Tar and Candlestick Park when he was there for a Colts-Niners game. And so I took him up to Muir Woods and some other places along the way. And he walked in to that cathedral, the canopy under these fabulous redwoods. He'd never seen anything like it. He looks up, he's awestruck, and he says, "Holy guacamole, will you look at that?" About 10 people turn around and say, "Hey, Chuck, that's Chuck."
I love it. See, today we need a rain delay. Today we could do 2 hours on a rain delay.
Hey, if there's no rain delay in a whole three-game series here, that will be an all-time record. So.
I know. All right. I love talking to you today. Have a great trip and have a good wedding tonight. And I'll see you Friday when you
all
come
right.
back.
Rubber match of the series. And Buster Posey's not going to be in there, but the Giants. Mike Yastrzemski having a great
fun
series so far. So just fun to watch him.
All right. Thanks, John. Talk
right
to you then.
Thanks, Marty.
All right. Boy, what a pleasure. Boy, see, today I need a rain delay.
You want to do
All right. Diamond Notes are next.